Welcome to Make Your Wealth Work, the podcast where wealth becomes your greatest ally in achieving your dreams.
Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to the second part of last week's episode. Let's jump back in.
You as a parent need to decide whether this is a loan or a gift. If it's a gift, well then don't expect it back. And if it's a loan, don't treat it like it's a gift. Right? Let's treat this like a business transaction, which is what it is, so that your kids can learn, so that they can become responsible adults. Right? You mentioned biblical, and I love my Las Vegas verse, 7:11, Ecclesiastes 7:11. Right? It says, wisdom is good with an inheritance. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. How many people do you know either plan to or have left their kids money? And they left them no book of instruction, no user's manual. And how often have the kids blown through the money? And I'm not talking half of it. I'm talking 100% of it before 3 years goes by.
Yeah. I mean, and you, and so the other part of that is it's, you have to, I do this with my sister all the time. You got to let your kids solve problems. You can't, mommy can't step in and, you know, because if I say, if you keep help solving their problems, she's a great mother, but you never let them figure out how to solve their own problems, right? And so, you know, you want to be responsible. You want to raise responsible kids. You want to have responsible employees. Responsible, I was as a pastor and a business coach, Myron Golden, he says responsible means it's two words, is to respond with ability.
I love it.
Right? We react. Okay. We need to be able to, so our kids need to be able to respond to something. And then we want to make sure they have the ability to think, engage in critical thinking, figure out a solution, and then have the ability to respond. Right. That's our job as parents. You know, I think that's our job as coaches financially, because I always tell people, it's your money, it curses money. Right. So it can be more important to me than it is to you. So if I say, I want you to read an 85 page book with pictures, you know, or some books, well, okay. You don't know how this works. I mean, because see, what happens is they'll listen to other people and they'll, you know, we'll have these people go and show all these different, you know, products. Oh, I got, you know, this newer thing. I've got this indexing, you know, universal life, and it works better because you get a higher rate of return. But they haven't read the book. And what does Nelson say? It's not about rates of return. It's not about investing. It's about how you think. It's about how you finance everything you buy, right? So, and he says, don't use universal life. So, I mean, I don't know where, you know, see, that's why people don't show the book, because it's, you know, it's, and so you've got, so Joe and I are like purists, you know, and with that, this is how we were taught to do it. And I mean, we try to stick to that because, you know, what people don't get is like we were started out talking about the vice president, is that they don't get the economics. See, you know, so because Nelson studied, there's another guy I like whose book I like, Money for Life by Jeffrey Reeves, unfortunately passed away early this year. They both study Austrian economics for a long time. So there's a reason why this came about, because of how you thought, how you looked at the world. You know, we didn't see as government's job to create aggregate demand. You know, we talked about human action. So it's hubris to think that 12 people in a room can dictate an economy, where an economy is you and me out here at the street level making economic decisions. That's why I said, you know, that's economics, right?
Yeah.
So it starts there. It starts with you teaching your kids. You know, if you want to, you know, which Nelson will always say, we have top-down thinking. You know, you build a community or a country from the bottom up individually, you know, being able to own private property, being a good steward of their money, understanding how to think critically, raising responsible kids. That's what makes America great.
You know, we've been talking for this whole time this morning about families.
I'm Curtis May, and I've approved this message. All right. No,
just amen. All right, we've been talking about families, individual people, right? Nelson's book is about 90% understanding human beings, understanding human motivations, holding up a mirror to the way people think, right? The human problems he talks about, especially Parkinson's law, right? A luxury once enjoyed becomes a necessity. The heated steering wheel that I have in my truck, right? I love my heated steering wheel, but you know, 15 years ago, I never even knew that that existed. But now that I know it exists, I'll never have another vehicle without it. Mm-hmm. But you have to be able to balance your finances with those shiny new objects that you might want, right? But now I was going to make a point here that we talk about human emotions, human reactions, human responses, humanity, right? And people might think, okay, this has nothing to do with business. This is for the individual. This is using the banking system to get the money back and financing my car. Wait a minute. If you could finance your car, you could finance your car and your spouse's car. If you could finance your cars and just your couple's lives, you could finance your kids' cars. If you could finance all your family's cars, why couldn't you finance all your exotic vacations? If you could do that, why couldn't you finance your college tuitions? And if you could do that, why couldn't you finance a new business startup? And if you could do that, why wouldn't you finance the retirements or the part of the benefit packages of your key employees or maybe all of your employees? See, so the tools that are used are only used slightly differently, whether you're talking about a sole proprietorship with no employees or a company that's operating in multiple states, maybe all the states, with hundreds or thousands of employees. And I have to throw this in. Rich people have been practicing what we're talking about for over 100 years. And one of the leaps that people have to make is understanding that rich people don't do things differently than poor people. Rich people do things exactly the opposite of poor people, right? And so if you want to improve your finances, you don't want to look around you at what your peers are doing and what the majority is doing. I had to get that in, right? Because Nelson told us, and it's true, the majority has never been right about anything. Now, those of you who get caught up in that are going to spend the next 60 minutes saying, well, let me come up with an exception. You know, if there's a fire in a movie theater and the majority of people run for the exits, there you go. There's an exception. Great. There's an exception. Aside from that, I can't think of one. The majority has never been right about anything. The majority is in debt. The majority is looking at their 401k as their lifesaver. And almost half of people who have a 401k have loans against it. They're not even treating it with the respect that it should have if it's supposed to be there for retirement. They're already borrowing against it, which means they don't have all those separate accounts that you should be having, right? Your walkaway fund, your Christmas fund, your vacation fund, your opportunity fund, your investment fund. Oh man, this is crazy. You mean you expect me to put all these different dollar amounts into all these accounts? Actually, I don't expect you to do anything. I'm just telling you what I'm doing. And what I've been doing only because Nelson taught me, because he got me to change my thinking 24 years ago, is start to treat yourself as a banker thinks, as an owner thinks. And if you can capitalize it out of your own reserves, meaning reserves backed up by life insurance with a financial partner, which is a mutual insurance company, then you will start to treat that payment as a payment that's going back to creating more wealth in your family. Now, if you can wrap your brain around that, that means you can do the same thing if you're a business owner. What we found, what we've researched over decades, is that rich people do this. Most of the commercial banks do this privately, secretly. Most people don't understand that 4,000 American banks, commercial banks, own life insurance and all the Fortune 500 companies. So do you want to follow what your neighbor is doing, who is watching some financial entertainer or listening to a financial entertainer who may not have any credentials, but they have a strong showing and they have a strong backing and they have strong commercial sponsors behind them, and they're going to tell you what to do? Or would you like to actually find out what the truth is about wealth? And it's going to go back to your own motivations. Do I have what it takes to control my family's finances? And am I willing to start building capital for myself with the discipline, knowing that building up capital is not going to take 6 months, not going to take 6 years. It's something you should be doing from now until the time you graduate, and your kids will pick up the baton. Your successor owners of your company will pick up the baton, and you'll be creating leveraged generational wealth that'll do nothing but get better and better and better with each succeeding decade.
And so to what you're saying that, so because I want to kind of bring it from the abstract to if they're, because you have to capitalize. It's the first step of the, when you start this process is capitalization, which means you have to spend less than you make. And then you've got to, a bank can't make a loan until it has a deposit. So you're going to have to capitalize or make premium payments to begin to build up your pool of capital. Okay. So if you're making $200,000 a year, 20% of that would be like $40,000, right? That you might redirect to start building your pool of capital, and then you live on $160,000. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. You have to make a commitment to yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And so what most people will do is they'll say, I can't do this because, right? I have all these debts. I have all these loans. I have these car leases, right? I have college tuition. I have, the kids' sports. I'm not telling you to restrict your lifestyle. You have to make your own personal choices based on what your financial means are, right? I'm just saying you deserve to be your own best customer. And if you can project forward to the old person that you're going to be one day, you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know what? I really could have done without leasing a brand new car every 3 years, because now I'm having to work at age 70 or 75 because I didn't put the money away. It doesn't matter what you put the money away in. I didn't put the money away anywhere. All I did was enjoy my life and I consumed. Well, listen, I got to tell you, I don't miss out on an enjoyment. I'm committed because my coach, Dan Sullivan, told me 25 years ago, he says, if you're going to be in business, you're going to be an entrepreneur, and you're going to work hard when you work, you should play hard when you play, and you should have free time that's free. I'm still trying to get the knack of the free time. He says, when you have free time, he says, you leave this thing home. When you walk on the beach, don't be taking pictures with this phone, because you'll be taking phone calls and checking emails. He says, free time is free. He says, and one of the things that you need to do, he says, I'm just saying, take a great vacation every quarter. That blew my mind. He told me that 25 years ago.
I'm totally with that program. So
we work hard, right? Everyone works hard. Everyone who works deserves a great vacation, but it's a great vacation that you pay for with your own means, right? And I'll get political for a minute. The government's not sending me on vacation. if I ever get to the point where I'm living only on Social Security, I'm not going to be taking great vacations.
Right, for sure.
Right? So it's putting things in perspective, it's setting priorities, and it's creating a business plan, whether you're a business owner or a family member, creating a business plan to accommodate this philosophy and this strategy, right? We are going to do this. Listen, you can only increase your finances in a few different ways, right? One is you can cut expenses, cut your desires, cut your activities, cut expenses. You can increase your income, or you can increase the rate of return that you're earning on capital that creates passive income. Most people don't have passive income in addition to their earned income. So listen, if you have to change careers, because your current career is not giving you the lifestyle that you deserve or want, or that, then you change your careers. Don't worry about what age you are. You know, Colonel Sanders was 65 plus when he created KFC. I mean, don't worry about it. As long as God's got you healthy and you could think, you could work. So you have a certain amount of components in your financial game. Manage those components. Make a decision. Day one, job one, priority one. It's I come first. That sounds terrible. My family comes first.
That, and that's a decision. It's not anything. It's not about the money. It's a decision. Part of all your earnings, yours to keep. Like that's, you got to stamp that on your forehead. And a lot of people have never made that. They, you know, well, you understand, I got all these bills, I got this, and I get that. But you got to decide, well, okay, because at the end of the year, you make $100,000 and you, all you have, and you're $10,000 in debt because you spent more than $100,000, then that's your behavior that needs to get fixed, because you can't create wealth. You can't move forward if you don't control money at the point of contact when it hits your personal economy. Because the game is won and lost, I believe, at cash flow management.
It's the financial salesmen out there are looking to create assets under management. So a typical, I use the word typical, financial or wealth manager, people who manage other people's money for a living, would want to gain $100 million under management. They manage other people's money. 1% fee brings the planner or the broker, the advisor, $1 million a year. That's a nice frame of reference there. But so what we focus on is cash flow under management. Because if you can get a hold of how much money you actually have passing through your household every month, every year, every decade, it is adequate for your needs, right? It may not be adequate for your wants, and then you have to think about, well, maybe I should figure out what I can do to increase my revenue by 20%, by 50%. Am I getting the best value out of my skills, my credentials, my education, my experience? Those are all things that come into play. But at the end of the day, you need to start out by building up capital. Let's wrap this up and then we'll continue on. I really want to continue to have this conversation because people need to understand your own value. You are worth it. Your family's worth it. I mean, you're worth saving that 20% so that you can look back when you're in your older ages, whatever they are. It's time for passive income. It's not time for retirement. It's not time for hanging up your tools and saying, I'm not going to work anymore. Maybe you want to work differently. Maybe you want to work in a different field. Maybe you want to do ministry. Maybe you want to do community work and give more. But in order to be in that position, you have to have your family taken care of, and you have to be in a position where you're not looking for help financially from outside sources, no matter what that is. In order to be able to give, you need to have capital in order to do good work and do good for other people.
You want to have assets. Income follows assets, right? And so you want to, I call it being financially free, which is a capacity, right? Meaning that, you know, I use the Jim Rome definition. You can live like you want to live from the income from your personally invested resources. Right. So you have assets that throw off a check. So if you need $10,000 a month, then you've got to have the assets that do that. Like, so if you're just maxing out qualified plans, those are designed to generate, again, the goal of the institutions is assets under management. Right. So all financial products, and we'll continue along this, is have four, or every financial product sold, I don't care who you work with, has four goals in mind. They want your money. They want it on a regular basis. They want to keep it as long as possible, and they want to give it back as low as possible. So if you had $1 million under management, you say, oh, I want to buy this apartment building. You know, I need $200,000 for the down payment so I can buy into this syndication. I want to buy an apartment building. I need it for a down payment. Your wealth manager is not going to be happy about that, right? Because you're messing up his money, right? And he can't get paid on that, right? But you can, because investing, you got to decide. This is where it goes back to control. I always say it's about becoming something. It's not about buying something. So we teach people, hey, you can build up capital, and then you want to become your own banker. You want to become a good business owner. You want to become a good real estate investor. And I tell people, look, I just want to help you become a master of your capital. And then when you see something that you like, that you understand, that will bring back capital, all I want to do is make sure you have the money and you understand the difference between an asset and a liability. You know how to read financial statements, and then boom, have at it. You know, I'm the defensive coordinator. I'm here to make sure you don't lose money. So
you really allude to a really good point. That assumes that people have a financial statement, right? Imagine putting a financial statement together for yourself. Well, you say, I don't have anything. You have something. You have the money in your pocket. Start with that. You have the money in your savings account. You have the money in your 401k. You have the value of your car. You have the equity in your house. You need to start to think about the assets that you've built up, even if they're modest. And then you need to start focusing, right? Give a certain amount of your focus and your attention to building up that net worth. And you should look at it every quarter. You should have an objective of increasing your net worth every quarter.
Every quarter. I think you should look at it every month, but you should focus on, all right, what is my passive? How's my passive income growing? And that's one of the things I really get people, you know, what is that guy, Benjamin Hardy, say? He got it from somewhere else, but all progress begins with the truth. So, you know, I was going over a cash, before we got on this call, I was going over cash flow, and I said, this is painful, but how do you feel about going through this exercise? No, it's great, because I had no idea where stuff was going, because they just get on automatic pilot and don't look at it. And you gotta break it down. You have to pay attention, because it's your money. And you have to be in control of it. And it's like what I tell money, it's like my favorite football movie is The Replacements, right? And Keanu Reeves is like, Gene Hackman was the coach. He goes, listen, this is after he gave up the ball when a guy told him to do this. And he says, well, I read Blitz. He says, no, winners always want the ball. And so at the end of the movie, he goes, coach, I kind of wanted the ball. He says, winners usually do. And so with your money, you've got to want the ball.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, as Kiyosaki would say, investing's not risky. Being uneducated is risky, right? And so one of the things that we do to go, you know, probably quote Dan Sullivan on every call somewhere, but, you know, most people have a ceiling of complexity with regards to their money, right? And so they're beating their head against the wall because their ceiling is low because they don't know anything. So what Joe and I are doing is we're trying to help you raise your ceiling of complexity when it regards to money, all right? Because as your knowledge goes up, your risk comes down. As your knowledge goes up, your anxiety comes down, because now you can respond with ability. You know, the ability to respond would because you're educating yourself and you're expanding your ability to respond. So that's what we do.
Every time I'm on a call or a conversation with Curtis, I learn something. I get encouraged. I get motivated. I get excited. And I build up my enthusiasm for helping our clients. And you know, frankly, I have some fear on behalf of other people. I'm afraid for where people's decisions are taking them. I'm afraid for where their inaction is taking them. I mean, their complacency, right? Their inertia, right? So if you're continuing on a course, you're going to stay on that course unless you make a solid decision to take a different path for a good reason, right? So, I mean, let's wrap it up and say we're interested in helping you learn and absorb and own and possess financial literacy, and not only make yourself rich for the right reasons, but teach your children the value of that control and that freedom. And they'll, again, as Curtis said, as Nelson said, if you know what's happening, you'll know what to do. If you understand that wealth and money are not limited. They don't have to be limited. You won't have to be fearful about holding on to it too tightly because you know how to make money. You know how to hold money, how to create money, how to protect money, how to pass it on. These are all skills that we continually practice every single day. You could think of us as a player coach. I'm not just sitting on the bench telling people what to do. I'm practicing it every day in my own life. Curtis is doing the identical same thing. We look forward to continuing to share accounts of how people are succeeding, how they're thriving, how they're gaining more freedom, how they're gaining more options. Too many people go to college thinking that they're going to get a great job because of college. Well, a job is a job. Just like you got a job today, you could be laid off tomorrow. But if you work for yourself, if you sign the front of the check, with all respect,
that's what you got. My dad control. Told me you're never making money work for somebody else, so I never got that go get a good job talk. and I thought you majored in business to go into business. So I viewed a job as this is from I read, I guess in my 20s, Robert Allen's Creating Wealth. And I've lost the book, but he says a job is a temporary inconvenience to provide you with the cash flow you need to get your thing going. So at 22, you know, I've had jobs, but I was doing this, but I wasn't any good, right? So I was trying to do, and if it was today and if I was living on commission, I'd be doing Uber in the morning, taking people to the airport. I would, so that I could get back during business hours, put my suit on and go do what I had to do to build my empire. And I had a long-term vision. I wasn't caught in the day-to-day. I knew where I wanted to go. And I think that with your finances, most people don't, it's hard to reach a target you don't have. I don't think they're targeting being financially free. I don't think, you know, when I ask them that, they just say, yeah, but if I look at their cash flow, you got all your money going to qualified plans. You got to do it. You're not trying to become financially independent because you're not buying assets that have the ability to send you a check. So you don't have to work anymore. You're not storing up. You don't have liquidity, use control of your money. So if an opportunity came in front of you, you couldn't do anything about it. You know, Nelson says who you as a goal is make the rules. So if you have opportunities will find you. And so that's what you got to do because you don't have to be fully invested all the time. Like you need to, what Buffett has, what, $100 billion, some crazy number in cash, right? Why is that? I mean, you know, because I think he expects something to happen and he wants to have some money to do the thing, the deal. And so guess what? In your personal economy, you can all be little Berkshire Hathaways.
Yeah, you can't rely on having good credit. That credit can be cut off. Or that credit could become so expensive.
Right.
Anyway, it's good. Look forward to continuing this and sharing with you, our clients, and our friends. You know, we care about helping you to gain the information, take in the information. It doesn't have to happen overnight, and it will not happen overnight. It's a matter of rethinking your thinking and making a decision to get the information. This is not something that we're telling you how to do it. This is a longer process where we're going to coach you, helping you become masters of your own capital.
Right. And the information is just so that your homework assignment is become your own banker, building your warehouse to wealth, case for IBC. I think that's a good start. All by R. Nelson Nash.
Reach out to us for those titles if you need them, and we'll send them out to you. We'll send the titles to you. We'll tell you how to obtain them, and ask you to continue to follow us. Great being with you, Curtis. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
See you next time.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.